Blog Talk Radio.
This is Colin from Cannot Justify. You're rocking Attitude Era Live with Icon, Granny Hawkster, and Big Swin.
Well, good evening, everybody. If you hear that sound, you know what time it is. It's Monday night, Attitude Era Live Monday, and it is our official one-year anniversary. And with me is the Modern Nightmare, Matthias. Hello.
Hey, how you doing, big guy?
Good. And also we have Granny Hawkster, who's going to have some other information for us, but I'm waiting for our first guest to call. I know that she is busy, so she's got to call in right away, so we'll just wait for her to call and we'll get to the show. But how's everybody else doing out there?
I'm here, Icon.
There's Granny.
Right. I've been on. I was waiting for you to introduce me.
Well, go ahead, Granny. You are on.
Well, you know, I'll just wait and share my news here a little bit because I know we're waiting for our first guest, so.
All right. And, yeah, because of the time zone and the time frame that she's in and the fact that she's doing all the stuff that she's doing right now, basically, she has to be on and run. And then we'll go over who else we got on tonight. We got Peter Dobson on with us tonight. And we also have another great guest. We have Marie Lauren. But as of right now, stepping out of the green room and walking down the aisle. Ladies and gentlemen, the Stormfront is here. I give you our first guest. She is KC Storm.
Hello. How's everyone doing?
Good. How are you this evening, KC?
I'm doing pretty well. How's the weather out there?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's pretty good. The snow has not started to fly yet, although in North Dakota, snow, as we know, can start at any time. But we're hoping it at least stays away until February or March, and then just go away completely.
Yeah, that'd be nice. But
so, Casey,
really?
Told us, I guess, we're on
didn't agent. Realize it didn't soften.
We're on 89.1 KISS FM. We have KC Storm as our guest. We have about 28 minutes. So, KC, if you want to give us a little background about yourself, then we'll have some fun with the interview, and then we'll do a roundtable, and we'll come back to me and I'll ask you the difficult stuff. So go ahead.
Okay. Well, let's see. I've been in the entertainment industry, I guess you'd say, for a lot of years, since I was in my 20s, I guess, is when I started with modeling, and it just kind of went from there. Prior to that and even after, I worked as what's called a hired gun for various corporations. And I don't know, do y'all know what that is or no?
If you want to elaborate in a PG sense, go ahead.
Oh, no, it's all a hired gun is you're hired to go into companies as a low-level employee to assess the rest of the employees and report back to corporate. And you let them know who needs to go and why, and then you are part of the firing process. It's kind of like Donald Trump, only not on that high of a scale.
Or kind of like a beautiful version of Undercover Boss, kind of.
Kind of. I like your version. I like that much better, actually. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
So if you get a call from anybody from Fargo, that a place I might work at, and they want you to come in and watch me at work, hang up on them, please.
I will tell them that they have nothing to worry about.
Okay, but, yeah. So if you get a call from anybody from Ken's FM or any other place I work at, just hang right up. 701
no
is
problem.
The area
I
code. So.
I got you covered. So, yeah, and then from there I went into various industries.
Well, I want to talk to you more about this hired gun thing. This is kind of cool. And then we'll also talk about after we do the roundtable, because I know that people want to, my co-hosts want to talk a little bit more about the hired gun thing, and they want to help you help them protect their jobs as well. But the when someone calls you and says, hey, you know what, I need you to come in and check this guy out, or check these people out. Do they have you come for a week? Do they have you come for a couple days? How long do you usually get hired for something like that?
Well, you actually work for a company, and what's called a headhunter. It's the type of company. And they, in turn, employ you to go to various locations. So it doesn't matter. You could be there for a couple of weeks. You could be there for a couple of months. Case in point, I ended up – I worked for Hustler for quite some time for the corporate and in their stores. I was very close friends with Larry Flint and Teresa, and Larry's granddaughter, Russa Soul, his granddaughter, is a very close friend of mine still. And so I worked for them doing that with their employees. And they even sent me out to California to start assessing the stores out in California and the people that work there, from management all the way down to salespeople. And I went in as a salesperson and assessed everyone from the ground up.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, it'd be really cool if you could hook us up with Larry Flint's granddaughter for an interview. That'd be really cool. Now, I'm going to ask one more question, and we're going to do a roundtable. You know, when you mentioned this headhunter thing, you know what I think of? I don't know if you guys have ever seen the movie 9 to 5, Jane Fonda is hunting down Dabney Coleman, and then there's a scene, and she shoots him, and all of a sudden his head is on the wall. That's what I think of when you say headhunter.
you know, I can think of a few heads I wouldn't mind mounting on my wall. I kind of on that one, too.
Well, I know that if I don't stop calling you at 2 in the morning, I know that my head might end up here at your wall at some point. So that's why I haven't given you my address. But anyway, Casey Storm is our guest, and we love Casey here. But we'll do a roundtable, then we'll come back to me. I'm going to ask you about your other sideline. But Modern Nightmare Matthias. Modern Nightmare Matthias, I know that he's got a question for you, and I'm sure that he'll tell you that he doesn't want you to take any calls from his boss either. What do you got, Matthias? Go ahead.
Well, first off, I want to welcome you onto the show. Yes, you are talking to the man from every woman's greatest dream and every man's worst nightmare, North Dakota's number one professional wrestler, two-time current APW and EWI Diamond Champion, Matthias here. I guess my main question to you, because from what I'm hearing, you've done plenty of stuff throughout your entire life, livelihood. What is one of the most interesting things you've ever been able to be a part of, whether it was in a certain industry, like a certain project, or like what's one of your most interesting moments throughout your entire career so far?
And you can't say this show because that'd be too easy.
being a dominant.
Fair enough.
Because I'm a professional dominant by trade. So.
Now, are you able to? Well, no. Are you able to elaborate on that in a PG sense?
Yes. I can try. I can try my best.
Okay.
There are many, many different types of domination. There are some people who have fetishes that are what they call mommy doms, like they want to be mothered or whatever. And you have some that are into humiliation. You have some that are into physical pleasures. And then you have some that, you know, that are into punishment. And I am the a sadistic dominant, referred to as a domina. And I actually am like a punisher. I send people come to me that feel like they need to be punished. I deal with a lot of CEOs, presidents of companies. I have some 1%ers that I even deal with. And they want to, basically they do things in their life that they feel that they are ashamed of. And I, in turn, am judge, jury, or an executioner. And so they sign waivers, and it's on like Donkey Kong from that point forward.
Well, you know, my co-host, Casey, they have to suffer through my jokes every week, so they know what it's like to be tortured.
Where's the
sweetie?
Big swing.
But, yeah,
I also work with a lot of women who have been in abuse situations, and I teach them how to be dominant and more confident in their roles as females, so that nobody can take advantage of them any longer and nobody can harm them. If anything, it's going to be the other way around. So I've kind of come full circle with all of that, and I do a lot more of that now than I do anything else.
So you were the one who taught my wife this stuff?
I can't tell.
Sorry. Anyway, I'll tell you what. I'm going to introduce you to Granny Hulkster now. If you want to talk about a strong gal that does not take any guff from anybody, she would be a perfect apprentice for you. So, Granny, what do you have for our guest, Casey Storm? We're on 89.1 Kansas FM. We got about 20 minutes. Go ahead.
Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure
to have you on. And, you know, and Grant, Icon is very right. I do not take grief from nobody because, you know,
good for you.
I love to go to professional wrestling matches, whether it's independent wrestling matches or whatever. But I have my own gimmick name, and because I holler at bad guys and bad women at wrestling shows. I'm not afraid to get in their face, talk smack to them. So, you know, what has been... So I guess my question to you is, what has been one of your most challenging experiences or jobs that you've ever had to maybe try to handle?
Granny, she hasn't had me alone yet.
It probably comes down to the same job description, the same job line, which was when I first became a professional dominant. And I ran a couple of entities that were out in California, and they were very sadistic, I guess, for lack of a word. One was in Miami. It was Miami Mean Girls, and then American Mean Girls was out in California. And now we have Las Vegas Mean Girls in Las Vegas, Nevada. I would have to have them sign waivers when the submissives or the people who, you know, wanted to, I guess, dabble on the dark side because they felt like they weren't worthy, because we have sent people to the emergency room already. Because I don't humiliate per se or anything like that. I'm into more the whips, the dragon tails. I waterboard. I have different tools. I do a lot of electric torture. So I have to kind of work these things out without actually. They get harmed, but they don't. Nobody's ever passed away from it, but it took me about a year to really be able to understand and do that because I had come from a background where I had been in an abusive situation for 15 years. That's why I work with women that have been abused and are in abusive situations, but both with them after they get out and helping them to get out in some circumstances. And I think it was hard for me because I never saw myself as being strong. So I was learning to be strong when I was being taught this myself. And it was probably one of the hardest things I did. It wasn't the corporate thing that was hard. You learn that with an education. You know, it wasn't going into a boardroom that was hard because I was never, you know, I was never without confidence in my abilities professionally, but personally it was very difficult. So I had to learn how to personally become strong, and so I would have to say that was also one of my hardest ones.
Wow, that's amazing. I mean, it just to have to do what you do. I mean, I've been through a lot in my life, you know, and I mean, I've dealt with my personal life, I have dealt with abuse, you know, the emotional, the physical, it is tough. And so I admire you for being able to be that strong person and go in and help those women, you know, and when they need the help. So I admire you for
and,
that.
And ever since the pandemic, I mean, a lot of people don't realize that domestic violence along with sex trafficking has gone up at least a minimum in most cases of 78% to 85%. So it's, you know,
I suppose because of the quarantine, you know, you're stuck living with the guy or gal or whatever.
Right, and there nobody can, you know, people can't go to work, and their livelihoods are being taken from them, and things are getting stressful, and, you know, and they're day in and day out having to look at each other, for lack of a better way of putting it. And when there's already hostility there, and there's already, you know, a sense of uncertainty, or, you know, there's some instability, then you take and you add all of this into the mix. And a lot of people started, you know, started drinking, they started turning to, you know, to drugs, they started, you know, going into depressions, and it just escalated everything to such an epidemic proportion. And now we've got a lot going on because you have the issues with, you know, what's going on at the borders, and, you know, how is this affecting, you know, how is this affecting the women, and how is this affecting, you know, the way they're being treated, and, you know, they're being pushed to the side, and a lot of these women that are in these situations aren't getting the help that they need because everybody's so busy running over here to take care of this, you know. So we have to step in. You know, those of us who are able have to be willing to say, okay, if this is what it takes, we're going to get a crew together and we're going to go get them out. So, you know, the way I see it, there's just no option.
That's awesome. We have Casey Storm as our guest here. We have about 14 minutes. Now, you know, real quick about the domination thing, and then we'll talk about your other sideline. Besides me, when I call you at 2 in the morning because I don't know what time zones are, have you ever really made a guy cry?
All the time.
Okay.
I answer.
I have not been added to your do not answer list, have I, like all my relatives?
Actually, nobody gets an answer for me at 2 a.m. except my significant other or a family member because it's an emergency. They're on bypass. Nobody else gets through.
Okay.
So, you know,
well,
don't worry about it.
Now I know why.
Okay.
Well, good. Yeah. Now I know why it says this number has been temporarily disconnected. Okay.
There you go.
Casey Storms, I guess you're on 89.1 KINS FM. We got 13 minutes. Now, you know, you mentioned that you're a proponent of trying to help stop domestic violence. And, you know, and a lot of people may not realize, and correct me if I'm wrong, but domestic violence, it could also not only be the guy to the gal, but the gal could be abusing
absolutely.
The guy, correct?
Yes. Yes, and that is absolutely the case, and we deal with, we help both. And when I say women, I'm primarily talking about men. Most men don't need you to teach them self-defense. Most men don't need you to teach them, you know, how to take care of themselves. I mean, some do, but most don't. But most women in these situations have no concept that they have a voice or that they can raise their hand or that they can defend themselves, and that's why I guess I put it out in that manner. But, yes, absolutely. By all means, it goes both ways, and I have seen it go both ways. Just like there's a lot of, you know, men out there that have women that are so over the top, I guess you'd say, that they will do anything and everything to try and keep them from their children. I mean, and there's a lot of men who are having their rights interfered with just like women do. You know, so it's a two-way street across the board, everything from the violence to using children as a weapon, to, you know, I think about the only thing they aren't in is sex trafficked, and hell, they might be doing that too before it's over with. And I don't mean that lightly. I mean, it's just the way everything's going.
If someone some of our fans that are listening right now that might be in a relationship like that, what advice would you give them? Where would you suggest they turn for help?
Oh, that's a tough one. Honestly, I would tell them to try and talk to somebody at their nearest women's center or a women's shelter. But a lot of times you'd be surprised that there is a friend or there is a family member who can intervene in ways that you never even thought possible because you forget you have a voice. And so you don't out of fear, you don't reach out for help. It's almost paralyzing to a degree because it's emotional, it's mental, it's psychological, it's physical. So it covers all spectrum. And it's, like I said, it's almost debilitating to a point. And you forget. So the first thing you need to do is remember that you are stronger than you think. And you do have a voice. And you can reach out. And there will be people that will come to your aid. And they will help. I can be reached on any of my social medias. Some of the girls in the adult industry, I've helped them with how they get caught up in things and they just need somebody to talk to, or there's a lot of things going on that they don't understand and they don't, they haven't been told everything that they needed to be told. So it's on all aspects, all walks of life. So there's always somebody who can help, and start with your women's centers. And if you don't know, ask somebody, find somebody. There is so much out there that a woman can, look for to learn and learn the signals so that when you see somebody in help, you recognize different things that they may be doing or the way they may be acting. And you can sometimes intervene that way when they don't have a voice and they don't have the ability to do so.
And Casey Storms, I guess, here on 89.1 Kens FM, we have 9 minutes left with Casey. I wish it were 9 more years. But one other thing I'd like to go back to, when you get hired by a company to go in and check out certain workers or situations or whatever, What kind of communication do you have? Do they send you lists of what you're looking for, or do they say, we've heard this about this person, we want you to verify if this is going on?
You find out who your colleagues are going to be so that when you go in, you know the position you're going into. Hustler is the best example I can give you. I was in as an entry-level salesperson, and I don't do sales at all, but I was a salesperson, but I knew that I had to not only assess the sales team, but I was looking at the assistant managers and managers as well. So out in California, they all had to, they all had to be scrutinized and put under a microscope because there was so much going on out there. And I tell everybody I didn't make a whole lot of friends in that job because you do have to get close to people. You do have to get to know people a little bit. And you're usually there on an average of, anywhere from, 3 or 4 weeks. Sometimes you're only there a few days, but very seldom. Usually you're there for a few weeks, or a couple of months. And you do get to know people, and it gets real – the waters get really, really murky. So you just – I don't even know how to – the best way, I guess, to explain it is you take each individual job and – you learn about it so that you can assess. And it's real easy to determine, okay, are these people working? Are they stealing? Are they giving, in some cases, with Hustler, there were some of the toys, for lack of a better way of putting it, that they had to be able to give descriptions on how to use these properly. They were giving bad information and, to the degree that some of it could end up getting people hurt. And you have to know a lot to not be an employee, in my opinion, because you have to be able to know. I can't – if I don't know about your job, how can I assess whether or not you're doing your job? So you have to know about a bunch of different titles, a bunch of different jobs, and their descriptions all at once, because you're 9 times out of 10, you're not just assessing one position and one person. It's an entire staff.
You have to spend time learning
up.
Casey Storm is our guest here on 89.1 KENS FM. And for those of you who listen to our regular show, if you go to our Facebook page, Attitude Era, Monday Live Monday, like that, go to 89.1 KENS FM page, like that, do a $10 a month donation to Power of the Tower. We'll get you an autograph from a past guest, current guest, or future guest. So get your entries in now. We'll announce that later on when we're going to be doing those giveaways. But the other thing, Casey, I just want to basically thank you for all that you do and all that you stand for. But like I say, if you ever get a call from a 701 number besides me, and all I'm saying, if you never answer the phone again, just don't just send it to voicemail and then forward it to me. Okay.
Oh, okay. I can do that.
Right. And so we can do this. If our fans want to check you out and see, do you got a Facebook, an Instagram, a YouTube, a Twitter, a Twitch, a TikTok? What do you got?
Well, I don't have TikTok because they banned me. So
I know the feeling.
Anymore. Yeah, you know, it's kind of sad.
They banned
Twitter,
me because my videos were just boring.
They banned me because I put up a picture of somebody being dominated. They said I was inciting violence.
Wow.
I don't get it. It was just a picture.
I'll definitely stop calling at 2 in the morning now. But anyway, what else you got?
I am on Twitter is my main account that you will find me on. And it's it's KCKAS as in Sam EY _ Storm STORM. That's my main. And then at Real Queen Casey is my domination. And those two I'm on a lot. I'm on Instagram, which is also at Casey, KASEY _ Storm, STORM. And I also have links to various sites that I'm on. Like I have an OnlyFans, which is for domination. I also have Unfiltered, which is on my Twitter page. You can find that. And that is ran by my girlfriend, Stephanie Mateo. She's from 90 Day Fiancé. And she's got a site, and it's great. It's got everything from adult to mainstream to workouts. You name it, and it's on there. It's just awesome. And then I do have Facebook. I have a Facebook fan page, official Casey Storm, and then Ms. MZ Casey Storm. So any of those, I'm on Snapchat. I don't do too much of Snapchat. I haven't been able to figure out Snapchat. You know what? You can call me at 2 a.m. if you can help me figure out how to navigate Snapchat.
I can help you with Snapchat. I can help you do that.
Okay. Then you can call me at 2 a.m. if you need to.
Okay. Hey, you guys, it's recorded. You heard her say I can call her one time to teach her. And you know, one thing, Casey, I'll understand if you don't want to answer this question, but there is one picture. All the pictures of you are beautiful, of course, but the most beautiful picture that you have on your Facebook page, your fan page, is you're standing in front of the American flag and you're wearing like this, they look like jewels or crystals or something, and you have like a mask on. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. The photo that I had, I put the background. I imposed the background onto the regular photo.
I'm just kind of curious. That looked like that outfit cost like $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, maybe $9,000 or something like that, with all the crystals and jewels on it.
No, not at all. the headdress was $70. The face mask was $30, and the dress itself was $350.
Awesome. Well, I'll tell you what, Casey, I do want to thank you for joining us tonight. You have been so wonderful, and I'll always think twice from now on if I call at the wrong time. I'm sure
giving
you probably use Jedi mind tricks
don't
too.
Forget
but,
that.
Right. But it'll only be once, I promise. But I'll tell you what,
okay.
Casey, you are great. We hope that you'd be willing to join us again. I hope we haven't scared you away too much. And you are awesome.
No,
and most importantly, thank you for being my friend. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sweetheart. I appreciate you reaching out to me. Thank you, everybody.
All right. Casey Bye. Storm, ladies and gentlemen, talk about, you know, she's exactly what Billy Joel was talking about when he came up with the Stormfront album. She should have been on the cover. We're going to take a quick little time out here, and then our next guest is waiting in the wings, but we got to hear from one of our sponsors, and we'll be back right after this. The new WoodSpring Suites of Fargo, located at 1090 35th Street North at the I-29 and 12th Avenue North interchange, is an extended stay, pet-friendly hotel with kitchenettes in every room, including a stovetop, full-size fridge, and microwave, plus a big 40-inch flat-screen TV with free Wi-Fi. You can book a room at 701-582-1600 or online at www.woodspring.com. WoodSpring Suites of Fargo, rated 4.2 by TrustScore. All right, ladies and gentlemen, stepping out of the green room and walking down the aisle, the greatest actor to ever play Elvis twice, the Oscar-winning performing Elvis in the great movie Protecting the King, and he was also Elvis in the Forrest Gump. That's why it won all its awards, because he appeared in it. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you my hero. He is Peter Dobson.
Hey, good evening. Icon, how are you, man?
Good. What's up, bud?
Greetings from crazy Los Angeles, pal. Good to hear you.
All right. If you want to do that quick little liner, then we'll have some fun with the interview. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, the liner. Right. Okay, so, hey, this is Peter Dobson. You're listening to Attitude Era Monday, live Monday on 89.1 Ken's FM with your host, the icon, the big swing, Granny Huskler, and the modern nightmare, Matthias.
It's actually Holster.
Right.
Did I say it right?
Well, it's okay. Well, see, here's what I do, Peter. I usually just, after you say the icon, I just edit every... No, I don't do that. Peter Dobson's our guest here, and we're on 89.1 Ken's FM. We got 45 minutes here with Mr. Dobson, because we have a lot of stuff to... we got a lot of stuff to fill in. So, first off, you, as I mentioned to you at the beginning, you have... Well, actually, you have played Elvis quite a few times. But you played him in Forrest Gump, and you also played him in Protecting the King. What is it like looking like Elvis? Because I look like Mick Foley, so you know I'm not as lucky as you. But I want to know, what is it like, the fact that you do look like Elvis?
I was going to say make a long story short, but 45 minutes, oh, my God. Hope I can keep your listeners in tune here. It all came through director Robert Zemeckis years and years ago. We did a very short-lived show, a little ahead of its time. It was called Johnny Bago. And basically the show that Bob wrote along with a guy named Peter Zeman and Jeffrey Price. These are the guys who wrote Who Framed Roger Rabbit and E.T. and Frank Marshall, who did Raiders of the Lost Ark. So it was this really incredible team of talent. Decided for the 1993 or 94 season of television to write this one-hour comedy called Johnny Bago about this mob guy who steals a Winnebago. He's on the lam and goes basically from state to state causing havoc. And one of the episodes we did...
Kind of sounds like this show.
Well, basically, buddy, south of you, one of the episodes took place in South Dakota, and the character that I played, Johnny Bago, was out there, and he finds this old camera, and he starts taking pictures outside in the woods, and he hears kind of this shuffle, and he turns really quick, the camera goes off, and when he goes back to the trailer, he pulls the things out. It's one of those Instamatic cameras. He starts pulling the pictures out, waits for them to develop, and one of these pictures catches his eye. And as it starts getting clearer and clearer, he sees that this figure, he thinks it's Bigfoot at first, because it's that very famous picture of Bigfoot with his arms out, you know, walking in the woods. So he thinks he captured Bigfoot, but as the picture goes bigger and bigger, turns out the thing's wearing glasses, and as it glows, gets even more clear, it turns out it's Elvis Presley living in a trailer park.
The episode is called Spotting Elvis.
You're right. It was called Spotting Elvis, man. And so it turns out that Elvis was living in the trailer park incognito, and staged his own death. And my character talked him into being the king again, and wanted to teach him how to be Elvis. And so we did this whole spoof. So that was the premise of that particular episode. It was a very funny show. After 8 or 9 episodes, the show was too expensive to produce. Bob wanted to take the show on the road, and CBS wanted to keep it strictly in Los Angeles. Now, keep in mind, Zemeckis was still a big deal in those days. And,
if you would have went to North Dakota instead of South Dakota, you'd probably still be doing that show.
Exactly.
Because you would have ran into me at the trailer park.
Yeah, because of the whole episode about Icon.
Right.
So anyway, it did work out. They scratched the show. Bob moved on. He had this story he was working on in development called Forrest Gump, and his office called only about a month after the show was canceled. I thought they were calling to let me know that maybe HBO picked it up or something. I didn't know what I was holding for. They said, please hold. We have Robert Zemeckis on the phone, and I thought it was going to be the show being picked up. I thought he was calling me with good news. And he's like, hey, Dobson, how you been? And I'm like, well, I'm unemployed, man. How you been? And he goes, he said, look, the Johnny Bago, let's just forget that. We've all moved on from it. It was a great run, but I'm calling because I'm working on this film from a book called Forrest Gump, and there's this little cameo of Elvis in it, and would you be interested in doing it? Of course, being unemployed at the time, I said, absolutely. So they had me come in, and even though I knew Bob well, there was a couple other people. I had to go in the room and sing Hound Dog and all that, and then that was that. And the next thing I knew, a couple of months went by, and they called me and said they're in production, and they flew me out to North Carolina, and I did that scene. And that's how that all came about. No one had any idea that movie was going to be big. It was financially troubled. Bob and Tom Hanks had to shell out $1 million apiece of their own money because Paramount stopped financing it. They were over budget. So they financed it themselves, which turned out to be one of Tom Hanks' most brilliant moves. And then, when the movie came out, the movie turned into a bit of a phenomena. And they certainly made their money back.
Well, I'll tell you what. Now you guys know, because Peter Dobson is why Forrest Gump won 6 Oscars. If he would not have been in that movie,
he
wouldn't have won 6 Oscars. It's true. Peter Dobson, I guess you're on 89.1 Kens FM, and we got 38 minutes here, and we're gonna move on. I'm gonna ask you one more question, and then we'll do a roundtable, and we're gonna come back to me. I'm gonna ask you the tougher questions, like how do I get in one of your movie projects? But we'll talk about that in a little bit. Now, there's one thing, guys and gals out there. I bet you did not know one other thing about Mr. Dobson. He also played a famous baseball player. He also played Joe DiMaggio at one time in his career. In the movie Norma Jean and Marilyn, he played Joe DiMaggio. And as a matter of fact, I have that movie recorded off of TV. Tell us, what was it like playing Joe DiMaggio?
Well, that was a real treat. I grew up in New Jersey, so through my dad, we all knew who Joe DiMaggio was. But the way I grew up with Joe DiMaggio was watching his old TV commercials called Mr. Coffee. Yeah, I don't know if I'm probably showing my age here.
I do have a little sideline about that. I have Joe DiMaggio's most controversial baseball card. where it's a cartoon picture, not that you guys care, but it's a cartoon picture baseball card of Joe DiMaggio holding a cup of coffee with a Mr. Coffee in the background. And
right.
he was so disgusted with that card, he told him not to produce it anymore. I happen to have that card, but yeah. I think if you want to buy it, give me a call. I'm looking to buy a house, so we'll talk. So go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there, Pete.
That's fine, man. That's wild. I didn't know that. But that's how I knew Joe DiMaggio. But naturally, I knew who he was. Obviously, a big Yankee and all of that. So, you know, in those days, again, going back in time, I was really excited working with Naomi Judd, or I'm sorry, Ashley Judd, who just came off the film Heat. There's a story behind that one too, but I was really excited to work with her and get to portray Joe in that film. I don't think they showed him in the best of lights, but regardless, it was a memory that I'll never forget. I didn't get in the baseball field. It was more about the Marilyn Monroe's personal relationship with Joe DiMaggio, which wasn't all roses, according to this film. So
hey, you got to you've been Elvis, you've been Joe DiMaggio, and you got to stand next to someone that was like Marilyn Monroe. So that's why we envy you here in Fargo, North Dakota, and we're going to eventually talk about getting you out here, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. But first off, we're going to do a little roundtable here. First off, I'll introduce you to the modern nightmare, Matthias. He liked to get a role in your movie. He was telling me that he wanted to apply to be your bodyguard. Matthias, what do you got for our guest, Peter Dobson? We have 33 minutes. Go ahead.
Well, I guess Icon was kind of correct. I'm always looking to do new things. I am 6'2", 260 pounds. I'm a professional wrestling, football playing security guard, and a beer truck driver. So I can basically help you on any kind of situation that you need. So, yes, I am the modern nightmare on this show, but in my other lives, I am the man from every woman's greatest dream and every man's worst nightmare, North Dakota's number one heel, the current APW and EWI Diamond Champion, Matthias. And
Pete, if you're looking for a roommate, I'll give you his number.
that sounds like a big guy, man. Gee, he sounds like a mountain.
Oh, I get that a lot from my opponents, especially when they're laying there looking at the stars. But
I'm not Justin Bieber. I don't need a bodyguard. You know,
I was waiting for that.
maybe 20 years ago in my younger days, but I walk around pretty much left alone these days.
Makes sense. All right, so my main question probably would be to you, and I kind of asked this to our first guest, because I've been kind of busy, so I haven't really been able to do any really difficult questions, so I'll let Icon do those. What was one of your most entertaining projects you've ever been a part of? I know, as Icon mentioned, you were Joe DiMaggio, you've been Elvis and all this kind of stuff. What was one of your more fun kind of projects? Not because of, like, money or anything, but, like, just because of entertainment-wise.
And you can't say that show because that'd be too easy.
Oh, no? Oh, geez, you stole my answer, man. I would say, look, I got a lot of films that my mom calls me Van Gogh because a lot of the stuff that I've done gets discovered years later. There's two films that stand out to answer your question there. The first one would be a film called Sing. I did it with a very young Lorraine Bracco. It was my first big movie role. It was a musical. It was done by the people who did Fame and Footloose, from Craig Zane and Neil Marin, same team. And this was the late 80s, so those big 80s musicals were still a big thing. And so, you know, learning how to dance and doing all that was naturally a big thrill. Back in those days, we had to do screen tests. So there was a lot of elements to getting that role. I worked my little young ass off to to do it with dance lessons every day, and really had to walk into a room, which was like a movie in itself with all the execs from Columbia there, and I had to dance in front of these people. And then do a screen test. And that's where I first met Lorraine Bracco. Now, she made this film right before she made Goodfellas. Goodfellas wasn't even a thought yet. She played the school teacher. So
you were her inspiration then.
So that movie was an absolute blast. And it's got a kind of a cult following now. And the second one, which was a big thrill, was a movie called The Frighteners that I did with Peter Jackson. And Peter was not known in America yet. He did a lot of smaller independent horror films like Meet the Feebles and all of that. And Heavenly Creatures was big in Europe, but no one really saw it here. But there was elements of this guy's genius very early on. And again, this goes back to kind of Robert Zemeckis. I kind of got in Robert Zemeckis' wheelhouse after Forrest Gump, and Zemeckis was a huge horror fan, and he had recommended to Peter Jackson that he meets this crazy Peter Dobson, a guy who just played Elvis for him. So what wound up getting that movie, I had to go through an audition process, and I went out to New Zealand and met a very young Peter Jackson. And this guy, you could tell, was something different. He was a whirlwind. He was like a kid in a sandbox with his own studio called Wingnut Studios, where they were kind of ahead of the game with special effects. This was back in the mid-90s. And I knew I was involved with something. I couldn't quite put my finger on this guy's genius, but I knew he was up to something. I remember when, after we wrapped the movie, Peter and his wife, Fran Walsh, had a little party, and I saw all these books, Lord of the Rings books, on his table there, and I said, "What's up with the Lord of the Rings?" And he goes, "Well, that's something I have in my wheelhouse. I'm going to do a movie after this called King Kong. I'm going to do a remake of King Kong." And I was like, "Wow, really?" So, very long story short, the Frighteners came out. It had a lot of hype on it, but it was supposed to be released during Halloween. Universal got so excited about it, they decided to up the release to summer, and they put it up against a little film called Independence Day, and the movie got clobbered at the box office. So the movie got discovered a couple of years later through DVDs and, in those days, Laserdisc and video, and that movie genuinely turned into a cult classic. Even though that movie was a mild success, Peter obviously didn't do King Kong next. He went on to make all the Lord of the Rings movies and then King Kong and all of that. So, you know, between those two films. I'm sorry?
I think he made some money then.
Yeah, Pete did okay, man. He did pretty good. I mean, Christ, I don't know if you guys seen that Beatles thing he just did called Let It Be, which is kind of, you know, he found all this extra footage of the Beatles.
And
did this, only Peter, buddy, when that originally came out, I've been around long enough to remember the original release of that film, and it looked like the Beatles were, you know, about to kill each other. And it was a very depressing movie to watch. Now, when Peter discovered all the unused footage, it was like watching A Hard Day's Night. Of course, they had some problems, but most of all, it was like watching them in Hard Day's Night. They were laughing and goofing around, and he just put you right in that studio. And he did the same thing with that World War I documentary. Yeah, so...
Right, and the thing about that is Paul McCartney is the one that kept the band going during that time. That documentary was great. Now understand, Peter...
Clearly shows it, too, you know? I mean, Paul was the one who really kept them together. I mean, Paul was the... At that point, pretty much... responsible for keeping them together. Keep in mind, buddy, after that whole album and that document and that film they made, 3 weeks later they made their final album right after that.
Right. Now, I'll understand if you turn me down for this, but do you think maybe you could hook us up with him to have him on the show with us?
Who, Peter Jackson?
Does he have to
play at 7:28 p.m. New Zealand time? Remember, they're a day ahead,
right,
there,
right.
Buddy. He would have to call you tomorrow to get you today.
Right. I mean, I would love to have – I would love to talk about the Beatles project and the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. I haven't talked to Peter. He called me for my birthday about 12 years ago. That's the last time I heard of him.
Well, okay. So,
I just not heard of him, but heard from him.
Well, basically, that was just answering
his questions. Those two movies stand out as the funnest projects I ever worked on.
So basically what happened is you inspired him to do Lord of the Rings. He made all that money so he didn't have to get loans from you anymore. I got it. Peter Dobbs is our guest here. We're on 89.1 Kent FM, and we have about 25 minutes. Before we continue, we just need to take a quick little legal break, and we'll be right back after these messages. Give us about 10 seconds.
You're listening to 89.1 KNNZ-FM, Holly, Fargo-Moorhead. Independent public radio for Fargo-Moorhead and the Valley. Also on the web at www.kensfm.com.
Okay, Pete, what I'm going to introduce you to now is probably one of your biggest fans. It's Granny Hulkster, and she loved you in Cadillac City. She loved you in Hawaii 5-0. She's loved you in Cold Case. She also loved you in CSI Miami. And then one project I'm going to talk to you about, I'm going to have you a little side note here. Well, I'm going to have you do in your Elvis voice. I'm going to have you sing "Happy Birthday to My Father."
I thought you were joking.
No, he turns 80 today, and you were in his favorite TV show of all time. We'll talk about that a little bit. But Granny, what do you have for our guest, Peter Dobbs? We're on 89.1 Kens FM. We got 24 minutes. Go ahead, Granny. What do you got?
Well, welcome to the show. And
I was
a big Elvis fan. I mean, I loved Elvis, you know, back in the day. I loved his music. I loved his movies.
Absolutely.
My question to you is, what did you think? I mean, obviously, you probably saw the new Elvis movie that came out this year with Austin Butler as Elvis.
Yes.
What was your impersonation of that movie and the job that he did as Elvis? And what was your impersonation of Tom Hanks playing the part of Colonel Tom Parker?
Well, first, there was rumblings. I started getting a lot of memes earlier on in the summer because they found it pretty ironic that little Forrest Gump suddenly became Colonel Tom Parker.
Yeah.
So all these memes started going around. But I tell you, I was aware of the film. I wished I was 27 years old again, so I could have got the chance to have done it, but I remember hearing rumblings that they were looking for actors, and I started hearing who they were looking at, and I had seen Austin Butler in Tarantino's movie Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and I thought that kid was a real standout in that movie. I remember seeing it with a buddy, and I said when he came on, he played Tex in the movie, and I said to my buddy, I said, this kid's got something. I think this kid's going to be a star. I just got a feeling. And of course, 2 years go by, and they announced that Austin Butler landed the role of Elvis. And out of all the young actors, I think Austin is a tremendous actor, and I thought they made the right choice. And I know a lot of people love the movie, and I'm one of the other people that I thought he did a really great job. I was a little confused with all the montages in the beginning. I call me old-fashioned. I didn't get the rap music instead of all the 50s music they could have used in the beginning of the film.
Mm-hmm.
That's just me. I thought Austin, when they slowed down the movie and by the time they got to the 68 comeback special, I thought Austin nailed it. And in the Vegas years in 1970, mm-hmm. when they let the film breathe without all the montages. So, mm-hmm. you know, it was a slow burn for me of confusion in the first hour because I couldn't keep up with the movie because there was just so many damn montages. But
mm-hmm.
I that's Baz Luhrmann's style, and I get that. And that's also the film was made for a younger generation. That's why I guess they put the rap music in it, which is fine. But ultimately, I thought the kid, Austin Butler, did an amazing job. And he crushed it. And certainly it was great to see a whole new generation of people, discover it and see the film. I think the kid will probably get nominated for it.
Yeah, I absolutely loved it. I told my husband, I said, I could go back and watch it again because I really loved it. And I just, the whole thing was just absolutely amazing. And
yeah,
I guess, and I knew I should have taken tissues, especially when he was singing Unchained Melody.
Yeah,
because that's that's like one of my favorite songs anyways, and I love Unchained Melody.
Shock you. I still think the best Elvis movie ever made about Elvis,
Protecting the King,
is Kurt Russell from 1979. There was a TV movie. It was a two-parter.
Yep.
Kurt Russell
yep.
had played Elvis Presley. That was a real traditional
story. I remember
story.
That.
If you remember, they really told the story of Elvis going into Sun Records and, coming apart, coming along That's All Right, Mama by accident out of nerves because the music they were singing really wasn't working for Sam Phillips, which is all a true story, and it's known as the Big Bang of Rock and Roll. And, of course, Sam Phillips, when he heard him sing That's All Right, Mama, he goes, what are you guys doing? He's like, well, we're just fooling around. We're just kidding around, man. And Phillips said, no, that's kind of what we're looking for here. Let's lay that down. And I was hoping to see that part in the new Elvis movie, which they raised over very quickly. And I was like, damn, I wish they had shown that whole kind of creation in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, in terms of Austin Butler playing him, yeah, he was great. Everybody seems to love the movie and for good reason. But I thought, just being a little bit of a critic, I think Kurt Russell still does him best. That's me.
Oh, yeah.
That's my opinion.
Well, you're right. I mean, I remember that when Kurt Russell played him, and you're right. I mean, that was an amazing movie as well. So.
Yeah. Long time ago. So, but, look, this movie was designed for a whole new generation, and Baz Luhrmann certainly pulled that off. I mean, they put a lot of press in it. And, I remember seeing the trailer for the first time. I was like, wow, this thing looks amazing. And it pretty much was, man. Like I said, that movie for me came to life when they slowed the pace down without all the montages and just concentrated on the music and the singing. And when they got Austin Butler in that leather outfit in the 68 comeback special, I was like, now they got it.
Yeah.
It was good. It was good.
It was.
Yeah.
Peter Dobson, our guest here on 89.1 Kansas FM. We got 18 minutes here left with Pete.
Boy, time flies.
Well, yeah, I know. And I wish it was 18 more years. I mean, there's so many things I still want to cover. But we do get all our information here on the show from imdb.com. So if any of this information that we talk about is inaccurate. But first off, now you can still do your Elvis voice, right?
Sometimes I got to dust it off, man. This is my biggest record. Well, it ain't no bigger than wrestling, but you sold a few more. This is my biggest record.
What I want you to do, if you would, I'll understand you turn me down. Like I said, my dad turns 80 years old today, and I'd like you to sing happy birthday
to
your
father.
Elvis voice.
Oh, that's great.
Right.
Happy birthday to your dad, Icon.
Hey, isn't your dad a vet, too, Icon?
Yes, he is.
Thank you for your service.
He served his country. He served his country during Vietnam and during the Gulf War. What I'd like to do is have you sing happy birthday to Homer, and that's my dad. You starred in one of his favorite shows, The Adventures of Briscoe County Jr.
you're bringing up some abstract stuff, man. Yes,
all right.
I did.
So I'll do a countdown for you from five, and I'll have you do the happy birthday, and then
what's his name?
My dad
Homer.
Is with Homer. That's his nickname. His real name is Jerry. But happy birthday to Homer is great, and I know he's listening right now. So I'll give you a countdown, then we'll do that, then we'll come back to you. I'm going to ask you the more difficult question. So here we go. Ready? Five, four, three, two, one.
I just want to say to Homer out there, I got a little song for you. I heard through your amazing son that you're turning the big 8-0 today. I just want to say, happy birthday, Homer. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Homer. Happy birthday. Come on, buddy, you put me on the spot. I just want to say, happy birthday, Homer. Thank you for your service.
All right.
God bless America, man.
All right. I know he's well, hold on. He's texting me right now. He's saying, I can't read that. Okay, anyway, Peter Dobson's our guest here. There's a few other things I want to talk to you about. You also made a cameo appearance in one of my all-time favorite movies. Of course, every movie that you've been in is my favorite. But you were in La Bamba. You made a cameo appearance in that.
That was the first time I ever stepped on camera. That was by accident. Back in the days when I used to do extra work, that's what we did when we came out here. Aside from auditioning, you did a lot of extra work. And the director, God bless his soul, and I can't believe I'm forgetting his name. Big director. Jesus. You got the IMDb. Taylor Hackford, for God's sakes, I believe directed La Bamba.
Right, right.
They spotted me out and said, hey, man, would you like to jump out there and grab a pizza box from Lou Diamond Phillips and just kind of run ahead of the crowd and grab it? So, you know, I think I was like 18 or something. I said, oh, okay, Mr. Hackford, whatever you want.
Didn't you get to be on stage with Lou Diamond Phillips because of that role, too?
Oh, yeah. So that was my first time I ever stepped on camera. It's a little silent bit. If you ever watched the movie, when Richie Valens delivers pizza to the house, the first kid out there to grab that pizza was me. And a couple of years later, the movie I mentioned earlier was called Sing, and I was promoting it on MTV, when MTV used to play music, and I hosted it with Lou Diamond Phillips. And the first thing out of Lou Diamond Phillips' mouth was, hey, didn't you work on La Bamba? And I said, you remember me? He goes, hell yeah, man. He goes, geez, you come a long way. We made friends for some years after that. And I mean, look, we're talking about rock and roll movies. I think La Bamba is still the top five of all time. No doubt about it.
Well, let's do this real quick. What would you say would be your top five? If I'm not putting you on the spot.
Rock and roll films about artists, I would say La Bamba. The Buddy Holly story with
Gary Busey.
With Gary Busey, showing my age on that one. Rock and roll movies. Well, I'm going to throw Kurt Russell
in
there.
How about American
Hot
Wax?
I hate to destroy. Well, movies about rock and roll. I'm gonna do one better than American Hot Wax. I'm gonna go to American Graffiti. I'm a big fan
of
that film, George Lucas's film, which was basically, you know, every scene in that movie had a classic song to it, like it was coming out of a radio. I love the way he did that. In fact, that movie inspired me to a film that we're going to be shooting, a quick plug, that we're shooting in the spring of 2023 called Asbury Park, New Jersey. It's not about Bruce Springsteen. Mentions him a few times, but back in those days in the early 70s, the very reason Bruce Springsteen went to Asbury Park, obviously there was a music scene there, and his whole fascination with hot rods and cars is because Asbury Park in those days had a thing called the circuit. And every weekend, every muscle car up and down the northern southern Jersey seaboard would come and test out their hot rods, and they would bet. And my dad used to take me here as a kid, and we'd watch. Police would turn a blind eye, and it was like an East Coast American Graffiti. And, of course, with all the rock and roll music clubs everywhere, there was an amusement park that was on the boardwalk. So it was this very magical place. And that's what this film is about. It's a little bit of a tip of the hat to The Outsiders and American Graffiti. It's a coming-of-age story. And it took us years to get this thing off the ground, but we're finally going to be doing it in the spring. And that's going to be my directorial I've directed a lot of short films, but this will be my first full-length feature.
And, you know, if you do need an extra in that movie, a guy with perfect hair and a big ego, you do have my number. And like I say, I'm willing to come out there. All you got to do is give me some hot dogs, a place to sleep, and I'll carry your bags. I'll go get your cappuccino. Yeah. I'll do anything.
Well, I'll tell you, but when the time comes, just come on down. Ironically, we're going to be shooting most of the movie in Virginia Beach, not New Jersey, because we get a bigger tax break down there. But I found a park in Virginia Beach that actually looks more like Asbury Park than Asbury Park looks now, because a lot of the stuff has been knocked down and rebuilt. So Virginia Beach, there's a very old section of Virginia Beach that's very reminiscent of the original Asbury Park, and that's why we decided to shoot it there instead.
And
come on down, I'll throw you on a chopper, and I'll make you look like Marlon Brando from The Wild One. How's that?
Sounds good, man. And then the city of Fargo will embrace you. You can premiere the movie here at the Fargo Theater. And,
oh, yeah,
I'll get
a key to the city, huh? If I put you in the film, I'll get a key to the city?
And you also get a good suite at Wood Spring Suites of Fargo, one of our great sponsors.
Well, real
quick here, so we can do this.
Okay.
So we don't forget. I mean, we got Peter Dobson here. We got 10 minutes here on 89.1
Yes.
KISS FM.
Yes.
So if our fans want to check you out and see, you got a Facebook, an Instagram, a YouTube, a Twitter, a Twitch, a TikTok. What do you got?
Oh well, I'm not. Well, listen, buddy, I'm not 15. I'm not on TikTok. I barely go on Instagram. I do have a Facebook page. In fact, I promoted you this morning on my Facebook page, the radio show.
I saw that.
So that came up last minute. I'm like, hey, man, I think I should promote this thing. But I'm not a huge social media guy. I'm just not. I do like to post pictures occasionally on Facebook and all that, but it pretty much begins and ends there. I don't need 12 likes to begin my day. You know what I mean?
Well, I guess we're different in that aspect, I guess.
There's different strokes for different folks. You know what I mean? I mean, look, in this day and age, everybody's thinks they're a movie star. They can pick their nose and throw darts at a board, and they could get 15 million likes, and they're a star for a day. Some of these kids I heard are even making money when they get for doing goofy stuff. Some of these kids are even, from what I understand, getting agents. I mean, the business has changed quite a bit. But when it comes to filmmaking, buddy, there's still a world out there. A lot of craziness in this world. But it's good to see some movies coming back, like I think we talked about in our pre-interview about a week ago. I was a huge fan of that of the film Top Gun. It was great to see a film come out that had no political messages. It was just pure Americana. Tom Cruise reprising his role, and man, did I love that movie. It's made over $1 billion now, and for good reason.
The thing is, you know, how Lou Diamond Phillips asked you, weren't you in La Barba? Now people are going to come up and ask you, hey, weren't you on Attitude Era Live with the Icon? Man, you
yes,
must
yes.
have.
Oh, man, yeah, that, like, that's great. Yeah, weren't you on Icon? Buddy, you're Peter Dobson.
Yeah.
Were you on Icon? And I go, yeah, I was on that.
And then when you tell a lot of people that you're on the show with the Icon, you might hear something like this.
Oh, my God, who the hell cares?
Thanks, Frank. I appreciate that. Peter Dobson, I guess, here. We got about 5 minutes, six, seven, whatever. We got a little time. You got a current project that you just finished up called 3 Days in Malay. Is that correct?
Yes, 3 Days.
You play Foley?
I just played a movie with a great director and a friend of mine named Louis Mandler. I was in Indonesia. I was in Bangkok, actually, out in the outskirts. And it's about the first 3 days of Guadalcanal, World War II picture. That was wonderfully written and directed by Louis Mandler. And it was quite an experience, to say the least.
Are you able to give us a preview on when it might be released?
Louis just got back in town yesterday. I'm actually going to be seeing him this week, and we're going to be looking at
some
of the dailies.
Him?
I'm sorry?
Can you hook us up with him?
Oh, can I hook you up with Lewis? I could probably have Lewis.
Yeah.
I could probably, yeah, you know what, buddy? I think I could probably make that happen. Now, if you know who Louis Mandler is, a wonderfully talented guy. He's a good friend of ours. There's another, my producing partner named Mark Klebanoff, and Lewis have been making films on our own for some time. But Saban Entertainment let Louis roll with this film. As wonderful and a brilliant actor as he is, I think Louis Mandler might be the next Sam Peckinpah. We made something that was very old school. We shot a lot of it practical, which means not much special effects. We did it for real. I was amazed on how on it he was as a director. It's called 3 Days. Comes out sometime in 2023. I'm not sure about the dates yet. And I'll tell you who's surprisingly good in this movie is a UFC fighter named Cowboy. Cowboy Marone is also in it, and he's fabulous in it, man. He's great.
You know, because
And Rampage, he's in it too. Sorry.
Yeah, I definitely heard of Louis Mandler. I mean, I believe he was in every Inception of CSI, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes,
so,
he was. That's kind of an actor's that's kind of an actor's guidebook to do all the CSI Miami, CSI New York, CSI New Orleans. Those things keep you employed for a little bit.
He's currently
in a film called The Offer, and he plays Mickey Cohen in the movie that's playing on Paramount Television right now, and he's superb in it. In fact, I talked to Louis earlier today on the phone, tell him what a great job he did. I just watched his film last week for the first time, and he just wrapping up the My Big Fat Greek Wedding. He just did the third installment out there in Greece. And now he's in editing with the film that we just did called 3 Days.
Peter Dobson's our guest here. We got about 4 minutes. Yeah, I mean,
yes,
you know, the best things you can do for your career is either be in every single version of CSI or be in a movie with Kevin Bacon. You know that 10
right.
degrees of Kevin Bacon?
Yes,
you haven't been in a movie with Kevin Bacon, have you?
No, but you know that game. Everybody know, like I told you, at the top end of this interview, the very first movie I did, starring role, was a film called Sing, and it was written and produced by the same people who did Footloose. That was
well,
their film they did
there,
right after Footloose.
Well, there you go. There's your link to Kevin Bacon.
So that's my
go.
Association with Kevin Bacon.
And for our fans that are listening, you know, if you you go to 89.1 Ken's FM page like that, go to Attitude Air Live Monday like that, do a $10 a month Power of the Tower. We'll get you qualified to win an autographed picture from a past guest, current guest, and future guest. And Pete has been nice enough to send us those, and I do appreciate that, Pete. And most importantly, we don't hang up yet. We got, because you'll probably never let me call you again, but we got about 3 minutes here.
That's not
true. Most importantly, Pete, I do want to thank you most importantly for being a friend, buddy, because you are awesome and you are great.
We are pals, buddy. Buddy, we're pals.
There
we're
you
pals
go.
For life now. And I can't wait to come out to North Dakota. Like I told you a couple of weeks ago when we talked on the phone, I've been to South Dakota, but I've never been to North Dakota, and that'll be next.
Well, I'll tell you what. If you come out here, I'll make sure that your hotel accommodations are taken care of. You won't have to worry about that. We'll definitely get that taken care of.
Well, in that case, I'll be out there tomorrow night. Why'd you say so?
There you go. Well,
thank you, but I appreciate that.
Well, and Pete Dobson, our guest here, we got about 2 minutes here. And real quick here, Pete,
we
talked about your current project. Is there any other project that you're working on or going to be working on that you want to tell us about?
Well, between Asbury Park, we're going to be prepping for Asbury Park in a couple of months. So I'm looking forward to jumping into that movie very much. I put my whole life into it, man. And it's going to be fun to step behind the camera. I get a great satisfaction directing, which I've been doing now for a good eight or 9 years. I got a short film that's currently touring the country called White Mule. That's a tip of the hat to Smokey and the Bandit. You can go to White Mule Facebook page and watch the short film. Like I said, it's kind of a cross between Smokey and the Bandit and the Twilight Zone. It's a Very fun movie to watch. A lot of good music in it, too.
And you have a, real quick here, you have a production company, too. What is the name of that?
It's called Thunder Alley Productions. I wanted to use Thunder Road based on, not based on the Springsteen song, but based on the Robert Mitchum movie, which I love, called Thunder Road. But that was already taken. So I had to have a production company to start pumping out these short musical films that I've been doing. And someone said, well, what about Thunder Alley? I said, what about it, man? I said, that's a great title. I never thought of that one, Thunder Alley. One thing we don't get in L.A. is much rain. So I went with Thunder Alley. And it just stuck ever since. And we're pumping
and,
out some really cool stuff.
And I am true to my word, Pete. Like I say, I will come out and work. You know, you put your heart and soul in this project. I'll come out work for free. And when the film overtakes Titanic, which it will in the box office amounts, then you can pay me. I love you, Pete. You're awesome.
Thank you for
taking time out of your schedule tonight. And
hey, my pleasure,
you,
man.
And,
happy birthday to your dad again, man. I'm sorry I screwed up that song, man. But next time, man. Here's to 80 more for your dad. Your dad's awesome. God bless.
Thanks, bud. We love you. Take care. Yep.
Okay, brother. You too, man. Bye-bye.
All right. Peter Dobson, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, that was a great interview. And I think I might finally get a starting movie role. Or maybe not. We're going to go to our guests here after we hear these messages from our sponsor. Give us about 30 seconds, and we will be back right after we hear these messages.
As you know, 89.1 Ken's FM is funded through donations by our listeners and sponsorships from area businesses. If your business would like to sponsor Ken's FM and reach thousands of young adults and college students every day, contact us at 218-585-3067 or at info@kensfm.com. Any one of us can help you get your sponsorship started. We have many packages available to fit your budget. So contact us today at 218-585-3067 or at info@kensfm.com. And thanks for listening to 89.1 Ken's FM.
Ladies and gentlemen, stepping out of the green room and walking down the aisle, the moment you've all been waiting for. She is here tonight, finally. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you, it's going to be a scream, baby. She is Marie Lauren.
Hey, this is Marie Lauren, and you're listening to the Attitude Era Monday Live Monday on 89.1 Ken's FM with your host, the icon, the big swing, Granny Oxter, and the modern nightmare, Matthias.
Hey, and you guys noticed she brought her beautiful accent with her today, too. Did you guys catch that?
That's right.
Oh,
still
yeah.
Have the accent.
All right, we have Marie Lauren with us. We have 38 minutes here with Laura, give or take, depending on if she hangs up on us or not, but we'll go with it. First off, if you want to give us a little background about yourself, then we'll have fun with the interview. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I'm from, as you can tell, I'm French native from Quebec City. And a long time ago, I went to school to USC, studied theater and sociology. Went back to Canada for 1 year, won a beauty pageant because I thought this, in those days, that was kind of the way to get in the business. And I came back here and a year later and start working as an actress. And my first job was Three's Company. I was literally fresh off the plane. I was in town for about a month and a half, and I guest star on an episode, and I was signed by ABC to become a regular on the show. Unfortunately, it was the last show that Susan Summer did, and they canceled my option. They went looking for, you know, a hot blonde with big boobs, and I was a brunette with short hair and no boobs. So that was my introduction to show business. I went on to do more. Go ahead.
Marie Lauren's our guest here, and we're on 89.1 Ken's FM, and we got 38 minutes now. See, here's the thing, guys. She was on Three's Company. I remember she played Denise in Upstairs, Downstairs, Upstairs.
Yep.
She was also in The Love Boat. She was in Heart to Heart. She was in Matt mm-hmm. Houston. She was in The Lonely Guy. She was in The Hitchhiker. This is one show I want to talk to you about. You were in Cover Up. You made an appearance in the theme show Cover Up. Was that when before or after John Eric Hexum's accident?
After John Eric, and unfortunately, John Eric was. We were in the same acting class under this amazing acting teacher named Peggy Fury, and he died when. Yeah, I was studying with him, and when he got hurt, that he had got killed himself accidentally on the set. And a couple of months later, I guest star on Cover Up. Yeah.
And if we can, after we do the roundtable, I want to ask you a few questions about being in class with John Eric Hexum, because when I was growing up, he was in a TV show called Voyagers, and he was a hero of mine back when I was a kid. So I want to talk to you about him in a little bit. But
sure.
We have Marie Lauren as our guest here, and we're on 89.1 Kent FM. Now, you're known as a scream queen. So tell us, what did it take for you to get that moniker as a scream queen?
I have no idea. I mean, I did a couple, The Hitchhiker. I don't know if your audience is familiar with that, but it was an anthology on
HBO.
It was one of the first. Yeah. It was basically Light the Twilight Zone with TNA. And so I was very fortunate to play opposite Steve Urkel's back, and he was on, I'm sure you know who he is. He was nominated for an Academy Award for The Stuntman, and he played Charles Manson and Helter Skelter, and Steve is a brilliant actor, just a wonderful, sweetest soul. And it was one of my favorite acting job ever because I got to play him turning into me. The twist at the end is that he turns into me, so they use me to turn into him.
I remember that episode. I want to talk to you a little bit about that episode. You played Pearl in that episode, and let's see. I was seven when that show came out, and of course that show, of course, was not for kids. Don't take this the wrong way, but here's the deal. I was seven years old. And that show was not for kids. And here's the deal. I would sneak up when my parents would go to sleep. I know exactly what time it was on HBO. I would sneak up, turn the TV on, turn the volume down real low. And I remember that was the first episode I ever saw. And it was called Petty Thieves. And I remember that you turned into your husband. I remember that. And I'm like, what is this? And now that you mention that, I was always trying to figure out why The Hitchhiker has not been put on DVD.
I think it has. I think it
has
been.
It?
There's a whole collection out there, yes. And my episode is one
I'm
going
to look at
that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, I don't want to steal everybody else's thunder here. So we're going to do a roundtable, and we're going to come back, and I'm going to ask you a few questions about John Eric. This is about you. This interview is about you, but I do want to ask you a few things about John Eric and some other things.
Any question you want to ask me, I'm totally cool.
Now, Matthias, I know that you have a passion for Scream Queens. As a matter of fact, a lot of queens are screaming at you when you're in the ring, but what do you have for our guest, Marie Lauren? We're on 89.1 Kens FM, and we got 33 minutes. Go ahead.
Well, Icon, I will say you're definitely not wrong there. The second I enter the ring, mouths do definitely drop, and screams tend to happen when I'm beating up my opponent in the ring. But, yes, you're talking to the man from every woman's dream and every man's worst nightmare, North Dakota's number one heel, Matthias here. Welcome to the show. I do apologize. I really can't think of a very, very detailed question this week. I've just been so busy. But since, as Icon was saying, you've been in a lot of projects and stuff like that. But one thing for intriguing for me, honestly, was Three's Company. But for you personally, when was the moment in time? Like, what was the one point in time that you knew that you made it? Like, you were at your top spot, you were the happiest, one of your favorite projects, that kind of thing.
And you can't say being on this show because that'd be too easy.
Well, I've never been on my top, I mean, I was very, very fortunate to make a living out of acting for 10 years. which is more than most people can, you know what I mean? It's a very brutal business, and my accent was always a huge impediment. And I got typecast in those days, you know, as the French maid, the mistress. I think my last job was actually with opposite Burt Reynolds, which is a wonderful, wonderful experience before I retired for a long time. But it was, I thought this is it because it was my last job. I didn't know it was my last job, but I did not audition for it. The producers saw me on a hitchhiker, called my agent called me, they said, pack your bag. They want you to guest star in a TV movie with Burt Reynolds. You're going to Palm Beach for 1 month. I'm thinking, oh, my freaking God. They put me in an amazing five-star hotel, huge suite. They literally dressed me in Chanel suits to play a princess-terrorist. So I was packing a gun under my Chanel suit. Now, the interesting, the reason why I loved it so much because I'm a klutz. I have absolutely no skills as an athlete. And I was always the last kid to be picked up on the basketball team in school. It was totally traumatic for me. So the director of the show, and I'm having a brain fart, he's a famous stunt director who did all the old Burt Reynolds Smokey and the Bandit movies. Al something. Do you know what I'm talking about? Famous stuntman director. Anyway, he asked me if I wanted to do my stunts, and I have no idea. I can even walk in a straight line. He said, well, you're built like a dancer. Let me test you. And he taught me how to take punches. He had a cowboy hat on. He said, put the hat on, practice getting rid of the hat with nodding your head. That's how you take a punch. And then they showed me how to fall down. They pat me up. I got punched by Burt, and I thought this is the coolest thing. And, you know, I just loved it because this is a kid that was so klutz. And unfortunately, I was in a very abusive marriage, so I had to walk away with my daughter and seek a steady income. So I quit acting. That was my last job, and I quit acting at the age of 32 to become work in mental health. A crisis intervention counselor with abused children. I thought it would be temporary. It lasts, 20-something years? And then when my parents died within a year of each other 5 years ago, I thought, my goodness, life is so freaking short. So I got off the plane and said, screw it, I'm going back to acting. And I've been back to acting ever since at my old age, and I love it.
And we do appreciate the PG language. Thank you for that. We have Marie Lauren.
I'm sorry, is it censor? I don't know. I've never done. Is it?
Well, no, that's fine. You haven't said anything. You haven't said anything wrong. So you've been keeping
it
great.
Careful.
So
I'll be careful. I'm sorry.
Okay. We have Marie Lauren as our guest here, and we have we're on 89.1 KINS FM celebrating our year anniversary here. We got about 29 minutes. Now, Granny, I know that you are a big fan of Three's Company and Love Boat and Heart to Heart. So,
because she was old enough that when it debuted, it was like, you know, one of our favorite shows.
Yeah, back when we only had three channels. Granny, what do you have for our guest? Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I did watch shows, and one show that Icon mentioned that really caught my attention was when he said Matt Houston. I loved that show. Lee Horsley
was in Target Miss World. The episode was called Target Miss World from 1983.
Mm-hmm.
I remember seeing that as well. I love Matt Houston.
I loved Matt Houston. And then later on, Lee Horsley got into another role where he was Ethan Cord Paradise, where he was a gunfighter, like a Western. But I was a big fan. So what was it like to get to work with, you know, Lee Horsley? Because like I said, Matt Houston, I loved that show. That was one of my favorite shows back in the day.
You know, I hate to disappoint you, but I barely remember it because it was not, the other shows were like Three's Company, Love Boat was a guest starring part.
Mm-hmm.
So I was there every day and worked with the stars. Well, on that one, I played beauty pageant contestant. So it was, you know what I mean? It is really not much, in terms of acting, there was really not much involved.
Well, you should have won the contest because you were the most beautiful one in that lineup.
Thank you. I don't even think I ever saw this thing on TV, to be honest with you. I mean, he was a lovely man. I've never worked with people I dislike. I've been very, very blessed in my career to work with. I don't have horror stories to share. Everyone I work with was just wonderful. Yeah. So, knock on wood.
So, we're not part of one of your horror stories then so far?
Hello?
I'm going to take that as a yes.
I'll take that as a yes. Well, what I asked Marie is, so we're not part of your horror stories yet? Of
you're
people
not
to work
part
with?
Of my, I'm sorry. No, you're not. I think you guys are great. I get really good vibes from you guys. Yes. Also,
awesome.
You're breaking.
Now,
I live by the mountains, so.
Now, there's a and I'm going to ask you a few things about John Eric, too, because, like I say, he was Voyagers was one of my favorite TV shows as a kid. And, you know, I'm led to believe that if that would have went on for a second season, he never would have had his accident. But we'll talk about that in a little bit. But, you know, you're on Three's Company. You get to work with another one of my heroes, John Ritter. And I'm going to give you guys a quick little sidebar here. I'll never forget the day that I found out that John Ritter passed. I was working for another local radio station, and I was recording the news. And the first story that came on, sad news out of Nashville, Johnny Cash has passed away. And I'm like, oh, that's terrible. And then they talked about a little bit about Johnny Cash, and then they go, shocking news out of Hollywood, John Ritter passed away this morning on the set of 8 Simple Rules. And I'm like, oh, no. You know, that was September 11, 2003. And the sad thing about that is on September 11th, that's his daughter's birthday. And he passed away on his daughter's birthday, his youngest daughter. I don't want to be a Debbie Downer here, but I'm just going to tell the story real quick here. When he passed, and after his daughter's birthday, she was in the room with her mom, Amy Asbeck, and Amy said that her daughter looked up in the sky and said, "Drop him," and she was telling the good Lord above to drop her father. And I don't want to get emotional here, but when I first heard that, that really cut me. You know, most people think I made it tooth and nails, but I can get pretty emotional myself. But we'll go back
on
to happier stuff.
That's a great quality in the man.
I'm just kind of curious, what was it like working with John Ritter and Joyce DeWitt? Don Knotts on the show at that point? Didn't you guys have like a strip poker game or something in that game? In that episode?
I was supposed to, my manager called me and said he wanted a French girl to guest on the show, so I went and auditioned, and it went well, and they called me back, and my manager said, that's weird, you get so many called back for a guest star. And next thing I know, I go to the ABC Tower in Century City, and there's this lecture in the movie, a huge table with all those people around the table, and I found out that they liked Madison so much they wanted to write me in as a regular character. I was supposed to work with Joyce DeWitt in the flower shop. And I did my audition, and they say, after that, you're in. You're a regular, you'd be a regular in Three's Company. You signed the contract, 3 years contract. I was like, my acting teacher couldn't believe it. I was literally, I never had acted before in my life, except for in college. It was unbelievable. So I get on the set, and it was wonderful because it's like a play. You rehearse, you do a table reading every day. They work with a team of writers. We read through the script. They do adjustments. They give you new lines every day. They make changes. You rehearse every day, and the last day you do the show in front of a live audience. And the interesting trivia about that was they were about to have a writer's strike, and they were so scared about that we shot the entire show in one take, and that was never, ever done before in the history of Three's Company. And John, everybody was unbelievable to work with. I remember John walking in. I was
in the water department, walking, and he gave me a hug, said, and he whispered in my ear, I heard you're going to be a permanent part of the Three's Company family. Welcome on board. And he gave me, I was so scared because I had no idea what the three-camera thing was. I knew nothing. And they just took me on under their wing. The only one I had no rapport with was Susan Summer.
I can believe that. She's the one that wrecked the show.
She never acknowledged me, and that was the last show she did. I didn't know what was going on. I was wondering, well, that's weird, but that was the last episode she did. And then they went into panic. They didn't want to chance this girl from Quebec who had never acted before, who didn't have that kind of look. So they were looking for somebody to replace her, and they dumped my contract. But because of Three's Company, they were trying to build me up in the meantime, so they contacted Aaron Spelling, and they offered me a Party Crazy's character in Love Boat for me to build me up for the American audience to get used to me, you see? That's why I got on the Love Boat right after that, just because of Three's Company.
And, you know, the interesting thing, I remember that episode. It aired on October 28th, 1980. And it was called Upstairs, Downstairs, Upstairs, and
yes.
The whole plot of the movie was Jack, John Ritter's character, was supposed to attend three different occasions in three different apartments, all in one night because he overbooked himself. So he goes from one upstairs all the way downstairs and back upstairs, and then
he was doing physical comedy, and he was imitating my accent, and the asked me to make my accent even thicker, more French-like, because mine is French-Canadian, and that would pucker on my lips like they do in Paris, and John would look at me and pucker. It was just, oh, my God, it was amazing. And Joyce DeWitt and Thomas, they were just the nicest people to work with. And I'm thrilled to find out that I got a residual check the other day, you know, and I get them, and they're like, geez, 5 cents, 2 cents by now. And I got a bigger one, thinking, why, from Three's Company? And it was called The Best of Three's Company. So our show made the best, and then I Googled it, and Upstairs Downstairs has been voted number one favorite episode by a bunch of fans online. So I was, oh, that is so nice. What a nice thing,
well,
you know, to be part of
well,
that.
Well, Marie, You're not going to believe this, and I know you're not, but I did vote for that episode.
Did you? So funny. Because when people find out, oh, you're in Three's Company, I say, which one? I say, well, I had this, the shop in, I say, oh, my God, you were in this blue jumpsuit. People remember what I was wearing. It's weird. I don't know why that episode is so, people remember that one more than the others, because they were so, all of them were so funny. But, yeah, it was like, it would have changed my life if I had stayed on the show, that's for sure. But, you know, things happen for a reason. But I really love the comedy. Yeah, and I went from comedy to horror.
Marie Lawrence, our guest, you're on 89.1 Kens FM. We got about 19 minutes. Now you mentioned that you said you went to school with John Eric Hexum, correct?
Acting school, under Peggy Fury. Peggy was like the acting teacher where, for example, Sean Penn was in the class. You know, Lily Tomlin was in the class. It was that kind of acting class. It was unbelievable. She was an unbelievable teacher. She was like a mother figure to me, and she unfortunately had a tragic death in a car crash. But John Eric was in, I was with him in the class for improvisation. Yeah, and he was just, first of all, the man was like breathtakingly beautiful. Very classy, very sweet, just really, really nice guy.
You know, the one thing, though, like I said, John Eric Hexum, he was on a TV show called The Voyagers, and
right.
He played Phineas Bogg, and he played a time traveler in the movie, and he played opposite Mino Peluz, and if you guys did not know, Mino Peluz, her sister, his sister was Punky Brewster.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that. And,
no,
you know,
I
do you remember exactly where you were when you heard about John Eric Hexelman's accident? Do you remember exactly where you were?
I was in the acting class. In Piggy's class, and people start showing up crying. And we're like, what's going on? And found out,
Yeah, I know that. I remember how devastating that was. Marie Lawrence, our guest here on 89.1 Ken's FM, and we got about, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes left with Marie here. So we get all our information here from imdb.com. So if any of this information is accurate, inaccurate, blame them, not us. But
no,
first,
it's all good. It's all true.
Okay, before we continue, those of us that those of you who listen to our show regularly, if you go to Attitude Era Monday Live Monday page, you like that. You go to 89.1 Ken's FM page, you like that. And you also do a $10 a month of Power of the Tower. You get qualified to win an autograph from a past guest, current guest, and future guest. Now, and I'll understand if you turn me down for this, Miss Lauren, but would you be willing to send us a few autographs for giveaways?
Yes, absolutely. I will send them with pleasure. I've been battling COVID. We all got COVID in my house, and it was really brutal. So I'm still a bit loopy, but I was in bed for 2 weeks, and I'm still suffering from effects. So I lost my sense of smell. I'm having a hard time focusing. I'm a little confused. So that's why. But I will take care of it this week. Now, did you want the autograph? Just on cards, because I don't have headshots, but I can print the headshots out. How do you want that?
Sure. Yeah, whatever you can do for us is fine.
Okay.
And
Okay,
so now I know why you've been taking my calls, because you're feeling loopy. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
I'm dazed and confused.
Let's talk about some of the projects that you got coming out. It looks like just completed Violent Delights. Which is completed, and you have two movies in post-production, The Uncanny, and I don't know how to pronounce this, Fios Dodo, is it? Or Dodo?
Oh, Fedodo, Fedodo is a short that I did. I just never completed it. I have to get my act together to finish it. It was a short. When I was studying, I took acting classes with James Franco. And
wow.
Which, by the way, go ahead, ask me questions. I'm sure you want to ask me questions.
You got to do a project with James Franco. Now, Matthias, you know who James Franco is, right?
No, of course.
And you know what he's famous for, right? What is he famous for?
Well, I mean, it all depends. He's famous for a few things.
What is the most thing he's famous for in the comic book realm?
Comic book? That I wouldn't say, right? I wouldn't know right off the top of my head. Because, you know, I'm not big into comic books.
Well, you like Pokemon, though.
Very true.
James Franco, of course, was in the first three Spider-Men. He played the Green Goblin's son, as a matter of fact, in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Marie Lawrence, our guest here on 89.1 Ken's FM. We got about 10 minutes here left with Miss Lauren. So what other things are you working on now that you could kind of tell us about that you want to clue your fans that are listening right now into?
The thing I'm very excited about is a film, a feature film called The Uncanny. It's done, by the way. I just have to get on IMDb and change the thing. We just had a private screening for cast and crew and friends just before I got sick with COVID, and it went great. It's a supernatural psychological movie. I produced it. I wrote it with my daughter. She directed it, and I played the lead in it. And it's a Union Insight movie, and we had never done that before, but I had taken a filmmaking class with James, and I absolutely loved this class, and that's how I learned. James, we encourage us with the new technology to get off our butt and be in charge of our own career and create opportunities. And because I've been out of the industry for so long, nobody's knocking my door. I'm thinking, heck, I will do that. And I had a dear aunt of mine passed away, and she left me a very small inheritance. And I took that money, and I decided, why not? I'm making my own movie, and that's what we did.
Now, one thing I was wondering if you could tell us, The way I understand it, correct me if I'm wrong, but you had talked your family into eating a lot of Jell-O pudding. Could you tell us about that?
Yes. Well, when I was a little girl, I was upset with anything that has to do with theater and acting and puppets. So Jell-O had a special in those days where if you sent X amount of empty box of Jell-O, you would get a huge cardboard puppet theaters with puppets. So my aunt, my grandparents, and both of the families, they always started eating Jell-O. They hated Jell-O, but they started buying Jell-O so I would get my theater, which I did. And I had it forever, and I entertained the neighborhood kids with my little skits and do the puppet thing. And
so,
that's how I started my passion for show business, I guess.
So Jell-O is... let me ask you this. How come Jell-O has never sponsored any one of your movies then?
I never approached him. You know, it's a good idea. I should. You know, I mean, I'm not sure my latest movie is wholesome enough for Jell-O. It's a very dark movie that deals with depression and suicide, so it's very dark. But there are puppets. See, there are puppets in the movie because I play an art therapist. And when I work as a counselor with abused children, I did use puppets for the kids, so I recreated some of those scenes in the film.
And, you know, what's interesting about that particular thing about the Jell-O, the reason why I brought that up is you can actually find the articles, and you can actually find one of the old puppet theaters on eBay. It's going for $129 right now.
Wow.
So,
you are great at researching stuff.
Well, you know, I like to thank my producer. Oh, that's me. And so Marie Lawrence, our guest, we're on 89.1 Kens FM. We got about 5 minutes. So, you mentioned that, you know, you're going through the COVID thing and you're just getting over COVID. Other than the fact that you got it, how did that kind of affect your career in other aspects when it first started out and came out?
Oh, my God. The whole COVID thing, that was a disaster. It was a disaster for the world. Someone come out like a narcissist, you know. But for us, we were in post-production with Uncanny, and we turned in our final cut of the Uncanny to Technicolor for color correction around Christmas in 2019. And then everything fell apart, and my colorist at Technicolor had to go, didn't let people go, you know, to lockdown, and we just had to wait and wait and wait. Now, and this is a cute story I can finish with. This is an ultra, ultra low budget movie, all right? So my colorist, that would have been his first job as a colorist in the film. He was going to train on my film to be a full-blown colorist. And then he went home to COVID. And then, meanwhile, Steven Spielberg came knocking on Technicolor, and his colorist hired my colorist to work on Spielberg movie, West Side Story. So, of course, you got Marie, little Marie on one side, and you got Steven on the other side. So, of course, little Marie had to wait and wait and wait. And I remember one day driving all the way to West Hollywood to work on the film, my colleague gets a phone call. He said, you have to go home. Steven is on its way. I'm thinking, oh, my God. Well, I guess now I am in this big boys club, right?
Right.
I was actually a song. I thought it was pretty comical. But by the time he came to us and worked on our film, he was a full-blown colorist, had worked on West Side Story. So his name is Kevin Schneider, and he did an amazing job. And I think a lot of people don't know the work involved in post-production with color correction. It's unbelievable how you can manipulate the audience with emotion by, you know, changing the hues and the color palette and a little more blue here, a little more red. I mean, And I sat there at Technicolor in this huge theater just watching the film on and on, and it's really fascinating. I just love being a producer. I've never done that before. I'm an actress, and it was Baptismal by Fire. And like to work, I have this amazing composer named Miriam Mayer, who I mean, was just great working with the music, for example. I mean, I enjoyed the whole thing. It was such a different aspect from being an actress.
And real quick here, so we can do this, if our fans want to check you out, you got a Facebook, an Instagram, a YouTube, a Twitter, a Twitch, a TikTok. What do you got?
I don't have my handle. I have the Uncanny is a Facebook page. I'm on Instagram. I'm Marie J. Lauren. But is it possible I send you the link and then you can post
sure.
it, or I don't have that work? Yeah, okay. But we do have an Uncanny page, which sort of withered away for a couple of years because we were just waiting, and now finally it's done. So the goal of the film now is for 2023 to try to get in some festivals, hoping to find distribution and network that way.
One other thing that our fans sent me a question. They wanted me to ask you this real quick. We only have about 2 minutes here left with you. You were on the episode of Love Boat, January 24th, 1981. Of course, the episode was only 49 minutes long. It should have been longer because you were on it. But now, I was just kind of curious. The set of the Love Boat, you obviously were not on a real boat. So if you want to kind of give us a little background of what that set was like to make it actually seem like you were on a boat, even though you weren't.
No, there was no boat. It was in 20th Century Fox in Century City in that area, and it was just different rooms. It looked like cruise ship rooms and a little deck with a little bridge thingy. But yeah, I think they shot a few episodes on the real boat, but it was all fake. Yeah, that was a lot of fun too. Yeah, played the little French Canadian pen pal.
And the name of the episode was Gopher's Bride, Love with a Married Man,
mm-hmm.
Not Tonight, Jack, is what the name of the episode was. I'll never forget that. But I'll tell you what, Marie, you've been awesome, and thank you very much and for joining us. And most importantly, thank you for being a friend of the Icon and a friend of the shows. And if we didn't scare you away too much, we'd like to have you back on again at a later date if you'd join us again.
And I'd be honored. I love being on your show. I think you're a great, great host, and you know what you're talking about, and I really appreciate that. You did your work. I'm impressed.
I appreciate it, Marie. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. You have a lovely evening. Bye-bye.
All right, Marie Lauren, ladies and gentlemen. We got about 3 minutes here before we got to wrap up the show, but Granny, you had mentioned that you have a new nickname that we're going to have to incorporate into the show. What is that?
Well, I had a very good friend mention this name to me Saturday night at the big WFC show that we went to at Stravaslamzum. And he said that I should change my name. Well, I could still have the Granny Holster, but he called me the godmother of wrestling.
Really?
Yes. And
I think I
need to get that on a shirt, like Granny Holster, the godmother of wrestling. I think that should be my new granny shirt, you know. I've been wanting
That's
to come
awesome.
Up with a new shirt for quite some time. And I had the opportunity to get to slap James Storm in the face twice Saturday night, thanks to my good friend. You remember Chelsea Stackhouse, who we had on our show when I first called in, the first time I called in your show?
Yep, I
well,
remember that, uh-huh.
Her husband, Sam Stackhouse, faced James Storm Saturday night, and I got to slap James Storm in the face twice.
Wow. How did he take it?
He was coming over.
Badly.
Well, first he came over, and of course he started giving me grief. And I had a small bag of baked Lay's barbecue potato chips sitting on the table because we were, you know, we had reserved a VIP front row table for the night, for the show. And I hadn't even opened my chips yet. And he just grabbed that small bag of chips, just barely popped, just barely squeezed the bag, just enough that it crushed the chips, and that bag of chips popped open and potato chips went flying all over the table. Well,
wow.
And then he gets in my face and says, "Oh, Gray, I dare you to hit me, darling. I hear you, you know, you they say you're so tough. I dare you to hit me." I said, "Can I? Will you let me? Can I?" He says, "Yeah, I dare you." And he pointed to his cheek, and I went to slap him, and he backed up. And he says, "Ooh, I thought you were so tough, Granny." And Sam comes up and taps him on the shoulder. He says, "Ref, I told you to get away from me." And Sam taps him on the shoulder. He says, "Ref, I told you to get away from me." Well, James Storm turns around, and Sam Stackhouse hit him, and then he started to run off. And then he grabbed James Storm, and he came back, and he held me. He says, "Okay, Granny, do your thing." And I slapped him the first time, and the crowd went wild, and the Granny chant started. And Sam's like, "One more time!" He grabbed him again and held him again. I slapped him the second time. And so after the show, I went up to talk to him. I said, "Well," I said, "thanks for letting Granny slap you, James. That was kind of fun." He says, "Yeah, Granny." He says, "My jaw still hurts." He says, "You hit pretty good for a girl."
Well, I'll tell you what,
one more funny thing was, Sam grabbed somebody's container of popcorn and poured popcorn down the back of his wrestling trunks. And he was going around the ring trying to get popcorn out of his wrestling trunks.
Awesome. Well,
Anthony gave him his Budweiser cowboy hat that he wore. He gave that Budweiser cowboy hat to James Storm after the show Saturday night. So it was a great night.
And what we'll do next week, Matthias, we're going to tell you, we're going to get your reaction, how you would react if someone hit you with a bag of chips. But we're not going to do that now. You got to tune in next week. But until next week, this is the Icon with, on my left, Granny Hulkster, on my right, the Modern Nightmare Matthias. Big swing wherever you are, probably doing other stuff. We'll see you guys all next week. If you want to see what's going on in the show next week, go to our Facebook page, Attitude Era, Monday Live Monday. The likes are going through the roof since we started doing this. We'll be back next week. Until then, love each other, be safe, care for each other, and we'll see you back here next week as we bid you farewell until then.
You think you know me?
On this day, I see clearly. Yeah.